Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Good morning again, John.
And we're having a wonderful, wonderful conversation with our county executive, Laura Curran, who has just been unmuted. Okay. And I have my unmuting properly now. So we're figuring this out as we go along here this morning, which is fine. Every day is a new adventure, which is great. We're going to get back to the last half talking about COVID and what's ahead and stuff like that with schools and everything else. But one of the fights that Laura has had and has really, it's been an uphill battle, but she's winning, is property assessment, which is, it's, again, this is one of those things, there is no perfect answer. At one point in time, you got to pay the fiddler, whatever that expression is, and we've come to that point. And you know, taking a phrase from Judy Bosworth, at the installation in January, I know Judy acknowledged that Laura was not kicking it down the road. She had handled it, you know, head on, got into office, and she's dealing with it. And if you could give us an update, just, you know, to review it.
Sure.
I have conversations with people and they don't know it. And guess what? I'm not the person to give them any advice.
Well, it's very complicated. But the bottom line is our assessment system has been a mess. And I won't bore everyone with why that is, but it, you know, I'll just give you one reason why. It's we're one of the only two counties in the entire state where it's the county that does the, that sets the assessment. There's another small upstate, I think it's 100,000 people live there. So there's that county that does it, and then we do it. And then on top of that, the county then, if there is a grievance that is won, the county then has to pay back not just the county's share of the dollars, the tax dollars, but the school districts and the special districts. And it gets, anyway, the whole bottom line of this is that the county is hundreds of millions of dollars in debt because of this crazy system that we have. And then layered on top of that, that the assessment system had, you know, the assessments had become wildly inaccurate over the previous administration, wildly inaccurate and widely unfair. So, you know, we know that taxes are very high here in Nassau County, but at least everyone should be paying their fair share. You shouldn't have some who are overpaying to make up for those who are overpaying. So I campaigned on a promise to once and for all fix this. And I knew that it wouldn't be easy. I knew that I had to do it early because the longer you wait, the worse it gets and the harder and more expensive it gets to fix. So got in and did the first reassessment in the better part of a decade. And so now, you know, we're in the process now, we're in the grievance process now, but with courts being closed, that has gotten much more complicated. The pandemic crisis has made that more difficult for us, but what we're handling it. The thing about doing a reassessment when property taxes are so high, you could have the best system or the worst system. I think, you know, we actually are finally on the road to fairness and accuracy, which is what people deserve. But whenever you do anything with assessment, it's a very difficult issue because it just reminds everyone that our taxes are very high here. Whether, you know, and I do get a little bit defensive because I tell people, look, from my own property tax bill, and this is pretty normal, 15% of the property taxes that I'm paying are actually going to the county. 70% is going to my school district, and I have kids in the school. I'm a happy customer. I think it's a wonderful district, but it's 70%. The rest of the town, I don't have a village, special districts, and all of that sort of thing. So that is just the reality that we're in. We have 300 independent taxing jurisdictions here in Nassau County, 300 governments. That's a reason, a big part of the reason why our taxes are so high. So this is the system that we have. Our job at the county is to get the assessments as accurate as we possibly can. And I believe we are finally on the road to getting that done.
Wow.
I have a question based on the fact that I don't know enough about this, but it probably would be on a lot of other people's minds. 300 special districts, would anybody think about merging some of these together in ways that, I know it will never happen with schools. There's a lot of school districts. Most people really don't want their district merged with another district. But is there anything that can be done at all in terms of trying to put some of these special districts together to cut down on overhead and cost of doing business, if you will?
Well, that's a very logical question, and it's one that comes up all the time. So anytime you want to either dissolve or merge a district or dissolve one district into another, you have to have a public vote on it, a public referendum. And there have been a few of these over the years. I know down where I live on the South Shore, there was a resolution in 2012 to disband the sanitation district. And, you know, the thought was to perhaps have it just be part of the town of Hempstead, have them take it over. It was soundly defeated. I think six times, or it was like a huge amount came out to vote for this, much more than vote in the school district, the school budget, which is a lot more tax dollars at stake. Out in Suffolk County, there was a plan on the referendum. There was two referenda to merge two school districts. Twice it failed at the polls. So often when there is a vote for this, people, while they don't like the high taxes, they seem to like that local control. So my if anyone says, well, why don't you just merge the districts? So I would say that has to come from the grassroots, because it's the people that actually vote on such a thing. It's the people who have the say whether they want these special districts or not.
Right, and my opinion is what you said. I think most people won't want to give up the special districts.
Yeah.
So it's probably logically a good idea. Had Long Island just started today, and it was a flat piece of ground. We could have done it differently, but that's not how it
happened. You are so right. You're so right. Like if we could build a time machine and plan this, I think we would have done it much more logically. But think about how we were settled. People like came out from wherever and they said, okay, we want a village. We want a hamlet. We want our own fire department. Hey, let's have a school district. We need a sanitation. So it was sort of a hodgepodge settling. It was not very consciously planned.
Right. And that's just the way it is.
The interesting thing is, yeah, I agree with you there, but the more interesting thing is, and Otto kind of said, well, both of you are saying it, everybody wants change, but nobody wants to accept it from their perspective. And it really is a shame because, you know, we'll all have this esoteric argument or discussion about how the world would be better. But give me the first person that's going to give up something. And they walk away. And it's like, and it's going to be Laura's fault, or it's going to be the legislature's fault. It's not their fault. But then what do you want? You can't have it both ways. They want the other person to give it up, which is, unfortunately, it's human nature. And another reason we have to deal with, not we, but at the county level, you have to deal with all this stuff. Everybody wants it. It's the most amazing thing. But they, you know, do your chores and we'll give you an allowance to buy whatever you want this weekend. They want the allowance, but they don't want to do the chores. they should be treated like children, because that's the way the world exists at this point in time. But it's something that you are moving along on. I didn't even pay attention to the fact that all the courts being so messed up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's challenging.
Just and everything going on right now with the courts being so messed up, it's just pathetic. That I forget who I was talking to recently, one of the judges, and like some of the, and which you would know, some of the cases are actually, they've gone into the jails in order to have some sort of trials going on. I mean, everything just can't be put on hold.
Yeah.
You know, it's for where we are, but you have to move forward. Moving forward a little pandemically, back to where we are with that.
I think
that.
That's the first time that's been used as an adverb, pandemically. I like it.
I just make things up as I go along. When I get home, my wife will turn around and say, where do you come up with this stuff? Is it a word?
It is now.
Oh, okay. It is now. You've heard it first on 88.1 FM. And since Laura heard it and is going along with it, it's definitely a word. But pandemically, what would you say are things? I mean, we're going to be here for a while. In my opinion, the earliest, and maybe I'm terrible to say this, is going to be spring of next year. I mean, we need a vaccine for people to be comfortable. Going back to school, you know, I'm involved with the Children Learning and After School program in Great Neck, and we had a meeting yesterday. It's nightmarish. Bringing kids back to school, it's going to be it'll be 2 days, some will get 3 days. How does a woman, and it's a terrible thing to say, but 9 out of 10 times, the man says, I'm going back to work, and the woman has to figure out how she goes back to work, because the responsibility of the kids is hers. How do they do it? I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm not putting that answer on you, Laura, but it's like, it's such confusion at this point in time.
You know, I have to say, I really feel for our school superintendents and principals right now, because there's so much uncertainty. So they're asked to be putting together these plans with all of the moving parts that they have to deal with: cafeteria, school bus, kindergartners, vulnerable teachers, schedules. It's really, it's a house of cards as it is without COVID on top of it. So I've been actually speaking with them on regular Zoom calls with superintendents and other school leaders, education leaders. So they have to put together these plans, but yet, you know, while we're waiting for the state any minute now to say whether or not they can open. So they don't even know if they're going to be able to implement these plans that they're putting together, or if they'll have to reshuffle the whole deck and put it together a different way. So I still have two little ones. I have three. Two are still in school, and they go to public school. And, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty. My own personal opinion is that kids need to be in school. They need it for their education. They need it for their social development. It's not good. I know I probably sound like a bit of a nag at home, probably more than a bit. But, you know, they're on their phones all the time. It's not good for their mental development, their social development. So, you know, my district, I know, is looking at a hybrid model. A lot of schools are looking at a hybrid model. But that comes back to your question, John. How do we handle getting back to work? If you work in a grocery store, you can't remote work. You can't, and you have little kids who are starting kindergarten. How do you handle that? It's a real challenge.
The list is endless. This is, in my lifetime, by far the biggest impact ever. World War II, all the wars, Sandy, 9/11, as tragic as all these things were, this is like everything is affected. Yeah. There's nothing that's not touched and seriously impacted. Not people are going to go out of business. There's all kinds of problems.
Yep. Forget the businesses. That's a whole nother issue, which we're going to come back to when we come back from this break. Feed the Turf Radio on 88.1 FM, WC, and Hogwood Broadcast.